Welcome to China in Focus. I'm Tiffany Meyer. Our top story, the U.S. going after Chinese censorship on American campuses. A former Chinese student at Berkeley is headed behind bars. That prison sentence given for threatening to chop off another student's hands. Secretary of State Antony Blinken meets with business leaders and officials in China. More on what he's calling the goal of the trip.
This relationship between China and the United States is one of the most consequential, complicated in the world.
And an entire town gets evacuated as a new wave of flooding hits southern China. We have footage of the heavy storm. A prison sentence doled out for silencing Chinese dissidents on U.S. campuses. U.S. prosecutors sentenced a former Chinese student at Berklee College of Music to 9 months in prison plus 3 years of supervised release Wednesday. That's because he threatened to chop off an activist's hands, all because she posted flyers supporting democracy for China on campus.
Any comment on the case?
No, thank you.
Chinese students have been handed prison terms in the U.S. for bullying classmates before, but cases like this are rare. U.S. prosecutors had urged the judge toward an even heavier sentence, almost 3 years in prison. The goal is to send a message that the U.S. will not tolerate China's efforts to silence critics. The Chinese student is named Xiaolei Wu. In 2022, he threatened an activist after she posted a flyer on Berkeley's campus demanding freedom and democracy in China. Wu later messaged her, daring her to post more, threatening to chop her hands off if she did. He is no longer enrolled at Berkeley. In a statement, acting attorney for the District of Massachusetts said Wu's threats achieved the goal of instilling fear to silence the victim and others who wish to speak out, adding censorship and repression campaigns will never be tolerated in the U.S. Secretary of State Antony Blinken is in China this week with plans to meet senior Chinese officials. His first stop on Thursday, talks with business leaders in Shanghai.
And the relationship between whether you're Chinese, whether you're American, I think you know that this relationship between China and the United States is one of the most consequential, one of the most complicated in the world. But where the balance really comes in, we can make sure that we are talking to each other, hearing each other, understanding each other.
Amid slower growth in China's economy, Blinken asked business leaders to share what's working and what's not. He wants to be able to communicate those concerns with Chinese officials during his meetings with them in Beijing on Friday. Blinken met with the Chinese regime's top official in Shanghai and raised concerns about China's trade policies and non-market economic practices. Blinken called on China to provide a level playing field for American businesses operating there. And he said that the U.S. seeks healthy economic competition with China. Blinken will head to Beijing on Friday for talks with his Chinese counterpart and possibly regime leader Xi Jinping. He's expected to press China to stop its firms from retooling and resupplying Russia's defense industrial base. Caught on camera, a ship accused of transporting North Korean munitions to Russia photographed docking at a Chinese port. This as concerns grow in the U.S. over Chinese aid to Russia as war rages in Ukraine.
A new satellite image shows a Russian ship has been anchored at a Chinese port since February. This ship is suspected of transporting ammunition from North Korea to Russia. It has been sanctioned by Washington. The ship's presence at the Chinese port underscores the challenges facing the U.S. That's as Washington tries to choke off military and economic support for Russia. But the U.S. says China has been helping Moscow. America's top diplomat Antony Blinken said China shared machine tools and semiconductors to help Russia rebuild its industrial base. Blinken is in China and is expected to raise the issue with Chinese officials. The Chinese embassy in Washington said it's not aware of details related to the Russian ship. A British think tank tracking the ship said it has made 11 deliveries between Russian and North Korean ports since 2023.
Thursday, April 25th, marks a special day for millions of Chinese people around the world, especially faith group Falun Gong. It's the 25th anniversary of the largest peaceful petition in China in the past quarter century. Professor Xie Wei Guo, now working at an American university, was among 10,000 rally goers that gathered peacefully in Beijing in 1999. Let's zoom in.
In the past two decades, Xie went from a student studying at China's top Tsinghua Institute to a U.S. professor in chemical engineering. One thing that hasn't changed is his belief in Falun Gong.
It will soon be the 25th anniversary of April 25th when 10,000 followers or practitioners of the mind-body practice Falun Gong appealed peacefully to the central government in Beijing. Now, you were actually among the 10,000 that day. Why did you go?
Because I heard in Tianjin, the police arrest Falun Gong practitioner because they go to one magazine to appeal because the magazine defame Falun Gong. Yeah. So, but I heard that, and also the police ask practitioners if they want to solve this problem, they need to go to central appealing office.
Falun Gong, also known as Falun Dafa, was introduced to the public in China in 1992 by Mr. Li Hongzhi. The spiritual practice is rooted in Buddhist traditions and teaches the principles of truth, compassion, and forbearance. According to Chinese media, before 1999, Falun Gong was known for its effectiveness in improving the public health, both physical and mental. Official data shows nearly 100 million people were practicing Falun Gong in China as of 1998. That number had outpaced another figure, the membership count for the Chinese Communist Party. The CCP's then leader saw the practice's widespread popularity as a threat to his rule. That's because Falun Gong guides people to think freely. But communism demands people obey the regime as the highest power of authority, even directing how they should think. Soon, the CCP began to suppress the practice and used state-owned media to attack it.
Maybe some people, they don't know Falun Gong, so this is why we just go there to tell them the truth. They will know. Yeah, they can correct their wrongdoing.
On April 25th, 1999, rally-goers peacefully made three requests. First, they asked that authorities release 45 Falun Gong practitioners who had been illegally arrested. Second, lift the bans on the publication of Falun Gong books. And third, ensure the public's freedom to practice Falun Gong. The CCP's then premier, the second in command of the country, met with representatives of the demonstrators and agreed to their demands. But 3 months later,
in July 20th, the Jiang Zemin and the Chinese Communist Party, they start to persecute Falun Gong.
Then CCP leader Jiang Zemin launched an unprecedented persecution campaign against Falun Gong practitioners on July 20th, 1999. He vowed to use all national resources to eliminate the faith group within 3 months. Since then, countless Falun Gong practitioners have been kidnapped, illegally jailed, tortured, and murdered, including through state-sanctioned live organ harvesting.
Actually, I went to Beijing, this central appeal office, twice in July 20th and July 21st. Of course, I got arrested twice.
After Xie was set free, he fled to the UK. But when Xie's Chinese passport expired, the Chinese embassy there refused to renew the document. He was left stateless, without citizenship in any nation, for 7 years. Millions of people around the world now practice Falun Gong, while the CCP's persecution has continued through today. Every year, Falun Gong practitioners in the U.S., Canada, Japan, France, Taiwan, and elsewhere hold rallies to commemorate those who lost their lives because they refused to give up their beliefs. And to urge the CCP to stop its brutal persecution inside China.
Alarms sounding off on Capitol Hill all about Huawei. Senator Marco Rubio is calling on the Biden administration to block all sales to the Chinese tech giant. That's after Huawei released a new laptop powered by an artificial intelligence chip made by American tech company Intel. Here's the catch. Huawei is under U.S. sanctions, meaning American companies have to apply for a license from the Commerce Department before they can sell tech to Huawei. This indicates that Intel had special permission. Rubio wrote a letter to Commerce Department Secretary Gina Raimondo with Congresswoman Elise Stefanik. They urge her to immediately revoke all export licenses to Huawei. The United States placed Huawei on a trade restriction list in 2019, calling it a Trojan horse for Chinese intelligence. The U.S. is evaluating its trade strategy with China. The Biden administration is taking a, quote, serious look at U.S. trade defense tools against China. Here's a brief update from NTD's Business Matters host, Don Ma.
That's what U.S. Trade Representative Catherine Tai told lawmakers on Capitol Hill. Tai said that a top goal for the administration is to reduce dependencies on China and diversify supply sources. This is partially a response to the bottlenecks that crippled the economy during the pandemic.
Two new microchip factories are coming to the U.S. President Biden just announced a $6 billion agreement with Micron. Microchips or semiconductors are used to power a variety of essential products, including smartphones, satellites, and artificial intelligence systems. A senior administration official says Micron is set to open a facility in Boise, Idaho by 2026. Another one will open in Clay, New York, 2 years later. The funding for this project comes from the Bipartisan Chips and Science Act, aimed at boosting domestic manufacturing for semiconductor chips. A total of $29 billion in grants have already been awarded to companies like Samsung and Intel. Floodwaters are drenching southern China, forcing a town of 1,700 people to evacuate. Relentless rain, hail, near hurricane-force winds batter the region. An over 70-year-old resident said he had never seen such heavy rain in his life. The rains set off dangerous mudslides, inundated homes, and destroyed bridges. Power lines went down and telephone networks have been disrupted. In a restaurant in Guangdong province this week, customers gazed in horror as winds tore down trees while fast-moving sheets of rain pounded the street outside. The province is prone to summer floods. 2 years ago, it was hit with the heaviest downpours in six decades, with hundreds of thousands of people forced to evacuate. Coming up, the U.S. Commerce Department saying it'll review China's use of advanced chips. The technology plays a key role in devices ranging from smartphones to advanced processors for artificial intelligence. And a journey back 25 years to a peaceful appeal to the Chinese Communist Party. The event later twisted by the Chinese Communist Party to justify a brutal persecution. Our special guest sheds light on the quarter century of oppression.
And it's also the central compound where most of the top officials live. And there they stood and waited until the second most powerful CCP leader came out.
And recent research shows nearly half of Chinese cities are sinking, with hundreds and millions of people facing danger. We look at the details, more on that after the break here on China in Focus.